Welcome to Centerpoint Podcast. Get ready with an open heart to receive a life-changing message from God's Word.
Someone immediately goes and gives CPR so that they can rush to the hospital and live. And as Christians, we can walk around kind of in a state of cardiac arrest, that you're living, but you're not living. And the goal is that through this series of CPR, that you'll understand for us as Christians that CPR treatment is a call, a promise, and a response. It stops you and I from spiritually dying. Because there's a lot that we can walk around and we feel the weight. How many have ever felt like you can't breathe? The pressures. Maybe it's in a job and you feel the pressures, a startup. I've been involved with 4 startups and you just feel like you can't breathe because you're trying to get momentum. You're trying to start, but there's pressure. And those pressures of day to day, maybe you have the best job, but it's still stressful. And there's times that you just feel you can't breathe. And then spiritually, that moves into our spiritual life to where you try to open the Word of God, but there's nothing there. I try to lift my hands, but I just don't feel anything. Those are the times that you need CPR. And that through this series that we hope to bring you through individual lives that we're going to study, bring to you a CPR so that you will live, you'll function, that you'll understand there's a call, there's a promise, and there was a response. And then when you see that and you get that perspective, your faith will grow, you'll align with God's Word, and you'll breathe again. Like we sang that song, God, it's your breath in me. And that through this, we hope that you'll get God's breath in you. When it's hard to breathe, He can breathe for you. Amen? See, why a call? See, we all have this intrinsic, it's really more of an intrinsic motivation. It's something from the inside that wants us to belong to something, to have a significance, to actually do something. And with you and I aren't achieving that, we then begin to doubt. Or the enemy comes to say that what you're doing is insignificant. There's something inside of us. It's an innate thing that God put in us to be significant. To just survive doesn't cut it. How many love living just to survive? I wake up every morning just to think, wow, if I could just make it through today. And then the next morning, it's the same thing. There's no hope. There's no heart. What kind of life is that? That's a life that God never intended for you and I. He doesn't want you to wake up and go, woo, if I can make it through today. Then there's tomorrow. He wants us to be alive, to think, wow, when I make it through today and I'm victorious and I'm significant and I'm moving forward in all that God has for me, I cannot wait for today and for tomorrow to see what God has and what He's going to do. That's what He has for you and I. And we need to remember this CPR, this call, promise, and response, so that you and I can live that life. Nobody likes to live dying. And so, the call. Then there's that promise. You see, the promise, I saw it this way, is that we have a call, and I'll get to the call that God puts forth to us. But then there's this promise. You know, promises are kind of hard for you and I just to kind of wrap our head around, because how many know a lot of people promise a lot of things. A lot of products promise a lot of things. And after you live through a lot of promises that go unfulfilled, how many believe, oh, it's just another promise? Just words, right? But what God does in His Word, because God is faithful to every promise that He has given, that's like, for me, collateral. It's security. It's to know that when God calls, the promise is kind of like that backup, that security. See, because the call isn't of my own, it's of God. So if God calls, God's got to back up the call, and he does it with a promise that says, hey, I'm faithful. I have all this history. You can read it through the book. Here's my promises. Every promise is here. Here's all the ones that are fulfilled and will be fulfilled. And you can take it to the bank. You can know that when that promise is given, that it's secured up. That call is given. The promise comes alongside to go, hey, you don't got to worry about that. It will happen. And it's so important that we really understand that we can take God at his word. He's faithful, and his word has proven faithful. When we know that and the promise backs up the call, it just makes it so much better. It's not that I just have a call or I've been called. It's there's a promise that comes with it. It's one thing to walk in a call. It's another to walk in a call knowing there's a promise that follows me. And I want you to understand and we to understand, and I have to tell myself, it is for all of us. See, for years in the church, we thought calling was relegated to ministry. And we relegated ministry to Sunday mornings. That's not the way that it is. See, we got to get a different perspective. The call is for us. Ministry is more in the marketplace than here. And that God calls each and every one of us to ministry. Ministry is what you do Monday through Saturday. We cannot get wrapped up that Sunday morning is for ministry and the called ones and the set apart ones. You and I are called to minister outside of these four walls. And we'll see that through the life of someone we study here in just a moment. Sorry, I got a little excited. I want to give you some scripture references, and forgive me, I added a bunch of scriptures last night. They don't have them, but if you maybe want to write down the references, but I want you to hear what these scriptures say in relation to call and promise. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. 2 Peter 1, 10 through 11 says this, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. James 2:5. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who were poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised? Isaiah 43, 1-2, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I love that. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. How many love those scriptures? You've been called for a purpose. I'm going to kind of give you over the next several weeks the definition and scope of this series. in kind of a statement. It's this: in a troubled world we live in, we can often get caught up in the circumstances of life and lose hope and lose heart. How many know that? It's easy to get wrapped up, especially with the changing world that we live in. When you see what's going on in the political and cultural landscape, there's a consistent change and an unsettling that happens. And that when we can really get caught up into that and really kind of lose hope. And in that, we become spiritually in a state of cardiac arrest. CPR is a series designed to bring life by removing hindrances and blockages in our lives, restoring hope and heart by elevating our perspective, activating our faith, and aligning to God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that you would open our heart, open our minds, open our eyes to see all that you would have for us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you turn in your Bibles, iPad, iPhone, whatever it is you use for the scriptures, we're going to go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And again, like I said, over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about the call, the promise, and the response with different characters in the Bible. And this morning, I get to bring to you Lydia. Most would go, Lydia? Some of you may never even heard of Lydia. Okay, but Lydia is this awesome woman in the scriptures. And the reason I like Lydia is because I can relate to Lydia. And I think most of you might be able to relate to Lydia, even guys, just because she's a businesswoman. She's in business, so we can all relate to her. And she's a child of God that God loves. But I want to dig into a little bit about Lydia and then kind of see from her life and this scripture about the call, the promise, and the response. Are you with me this morning? Let's kind of read it together. We are going to have this up on the screens. Acts chapter 16, 13 through 15. On the Sabbath, we went outside to the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. And then there's another scripture down in verse 40 that said, after Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. That's all we have of Lydia in the scriptures. But I want to point out a couple of different things about Lydia and this idea of being called. Okay, so I'm going to start out with called. I have 2 points. And the first one is this: God calls us from religion to relationship. God calls us from religion to relationship. See, what happens is Paul and his group, they show up here and they're in Philippi. And they go out on the Sabbath day, right? For us, this is what we're doing. We're coming to church, a place of prayer, a place of worship, a place like Lydia. Of course, in that day, it might have been just an open, it's by the river. It's just open, but it's the Sabbath day. And we find that Lydia was a worshiper of God, right? That's what the scripture said. She worshiped God. She was there on the Sabbath. She was praying. And then Paul comes along and he shares this message. And what happens? It says her heart was opened up. So I want to put forth to you that God calls us from religion to relationship. See, we can do religion every week, week in, week out. We can come to church, we can pray, we can know our scriptures. There is no doubt in my mind that Lydia was a godly woman. It says, we'll find out that she was a successful businesswoman. So she did all the right stuff. She had the principles down in her business, man. She was working them. She knew the scriptures. She worshiped God. But that's not enough for what God wants out of you and I. He wants a relationship. He wants you to go from religion to relationship. And we can tell this by how we live our lives. Do we live our lives according to what God does for us, or do we live our lives according to who God is? What happens is I found out that my focus became on the what. Kind of talked a little bit to the leaders about the why and the what, but I was more of living my Christian walk by the what God has done for me. Man, He went to the cross for me. Man, He's given me a great family. He's provided for me. But what I find out, the more that I live by the what, I have to go from what to what to what. I'm always looking for one word. I need another word. I need another word. I'm going from what to sustain my walk. Been there. Still fighting through a lot of that perspective. God, I need you to do this. And so most of my pleading becomes, God, I need you. I need you. I need you. And it's out of this sense of, Lord, I need you because you provide for me, and I need to change that perspective from religion, which that's what that is, to God, I love you because you are God. All the other things are byproducts of the why. So I move from religion to relationship to, Lord, I'm going to worship you for who you are. What he did for me is a byproduct of the love he has for me. So I have to return that love, and the rest is a byproduct of that relationship with God. It's not based on a works, it's based on him. So I worship him in a relationship for who he is. All the rest is a byproduct. All those promises are a byproduct of that relationship. And just like Lydia found out, is that she was a seeking person too. See, she went and sought God. And God reached down and said, God opened her heart to hear the message that Paul spoke. And I know that message was one. Think about this. Paul was a Jew of the Jews. So he understood the religion she was in. Right? He was the guy. He wanted to be the high priest. He wanted to be the man, the one in authority. Something changed in Paul. And that's the message I know that he shared with Lydia. Man, this is a relationship with God. Read his word. Paul wrote three quarters of the New Testament. You can find it. That God loves you. He spoke that, man, God is awesome. And you need to worship the one true God. Get out of that religion and come on over to this relationship. Second aspect of being called. God calls us where we are. God calls us where we are. There's a couple of things about that. Is Lydia went down to the prayer place. She was at this prayer place. She was a businesswoman. And what you find out about her is she didn't leave her business. She continued on in her business. Meaning that we've got to get this perspective of God calls me where I am. And I understand the calling to a full-time ministry and that you may not be called to the marketplace. But I'm really wanting to focus in on the call to the marketplace. Because God does call those out that will equip the saints. But he's also calling you and I into our places of business. He's calling you where you are. So I want you to accept where you are, God is calling you. Okay, God's going to call you. Why is that important? It's important because Lydia, can I come down a little bit closer so I can see you? Because I really want you to get my heart on this, especially calling you where you are. Because I wrestled with it for years. But Lydia was a successful businesswoman, and it says in the scripture that she was a seller of purple. See, you and I may just at first glance, purple, she sells purple. Purple in that day, especially purple cloth, that was something that the rich wanted, the elite wanted, the powerful wanted. See, it was a sign of nobility. And how would we equate that today? Well, maybe a Rolex. For some of the women, it might be Coach bags or Coach. Right? See, I told you identify. She was selling Coach bags. And we're not talking about knockoffs. We're talking about the real deal. But see, she sold this cloth that was highly valuable. And she was successful because we find out that she had a house and she had servants. And the house was big enough for people to come over. And you've got to understand, she was the first convert in Philippi. Later, we're going to read a scripture out of Philippians. The Philippian church made an impact in Paul's life. And you find out, and here's how I know the message was so awesome in Lydia, is he takes and he writes a letter to the Philippian church and praises them for their generosity. When nobody else would take care, you sent a gift. A generous church. And guess who was the founding member of the Philippian church? Lydia. A woman who set her heart to God. That her heart was open where she was. You see, where she was, nobody else could be. Right? She had a sphere that she was going to reach that nobody else could reach. How are you going to reach the rich and powerful with the message of the cross unless you're there with them? Guess what? She sold purple cloth, the valuable thing that the rich, the powerful, the elite wanted. She had a sphere that she was purposed to touch. Where is your sphere? See, you have a sphere of influence that God's called you where you are to touch. Where is it? You see, your sphere, I can't be in your sphere. Only you can. Who is it that God's called you to reach where you are? Because God's called you there. He didn't call me there. He didn't call Pastor Allen there. You can't go, hey, I want you. You just can't go, hey, I want you to come over here because you need to reach my sphere of influence. No, God calls you to reach your sphere of influence. And we'll get to the promise, but we got to understand, I'm called where I am. Where you are has to be good enough in your eyes to see that God's called you there. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for you to share the gospel. Does that make sense? Because a lot of us think, well, I can't, not this sphere. You don't understand. Yeah, I do. I was in construction. Right? Construction's a pretty hard field. If you've ever been in construction, talking with people and what people do, it's a hard field. I've been there. I've been on the road with truck drivers. But I want you to really get, what does that look like for you? I don't care if it's a junior high, elementary, high school. God's called you to reach your high school. He didn't call Anthony to reach your high school. He called Anthony to equip you to reach your high school. Right? See, we often look to somebody else. God, you must have called somebody else to reach where I'm at. Right? Nobody else prayed that prayer like me. Lord, I know you must have called somebody. Who's the other Christian you've called to reach this place? I'll come up and pray for them. I prayed that prayer, I ain't gonna lie. But God's called you. Right, Susie? You don't know. Susie reaches tons of people in her line of work that nobody else here could reach. So who is it around you, and where is it that you are that God's called you to reach? And don't tell me I can't share God in my workplace. I can't. Been there. Are you exhibiting a lifestyle that's different from those around you so that those that are around you will notice? No, I'm not saying you got to get up with your Bible. God's called you to preach where you are. So you get up in the middle of the production floor and you start. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that person that works in production, that's going through the difficult part of their marriage, that they need hope, they need a heart, they need something inside of them because they're dead inside, you have the answer for them. But God calls you where you are. And then I'm going to go out of kind of the, I'm going to do the promise last. Is that all right? Because I want to go to the response. Because there's a call. You and I are called from religion to relationship. If you've never been involved with a church, God is calling you from religion or the absence of into relationship. Because if you don't attend a church, you're still out seeking something. And so God calls you from what you're seeking or in your religion to relationship. Secondly, God calls you where you are, right? Now, what is the response? See, the response for Lydia was immediate. It was like she took, is that my point, right? Her response was immediate. Her heart was opened. We see John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from life to death. Her response was immediate. It said her heart was opened. But how could she hear if there was no message? People are out there. Let me tell you this. People are out there seeking something. And they are ready. It says the fields are white with harvest. God doesn't direct us to pray for the harvest. He directs us to pray for the workers. That's you and I. They're ready. They're open to hear. So then what we do is we speak and allow the Spirit to do what He does. And He comes in and touches the hearts of the people. And then there's an immediate response. Her response, Lydia, immediate. Second point on her response is she took her next step. Bam, saved, I want it right now. What do I got to do? Baptized, boom, me and my household, let's go, boom. She took her next step. And that's important because you and I have a next step to take. If you've been saved, my next step in this walk is baptism. Right? And from baptism, I take my next step. If it's here at the church, I've been to I Belong, or then my next step was this or that. God's called each you and I to a next step in our walk. Are you going to respond to that call on our lives? See, I don't know what your next step is. I know what my next step is. But will I respond to that next step? That's the question. Are you going to respond to that next step? Lydia did. Lydia did. And the third one is she walked in the call of God for her life, making a difference. She walked in the call of God for her life, making a difference. So we find in Philippians chapter 1, when Paul writes this to the Philippian church, he thanks them for partnering in the gospel. So we know that from the time of the founding of the church, right there when Lydia accepted God, was baptized, walked in the purpose of God for her life, walked, and other believers came together that they were partners in the gospel of Christ. So we know that she walked in that. We know that in verse 40, what had happened is they preach, Lydia and her household gets baptized, they go to her house, and then some other ministry happens, then they get thrown into something like prison. And then in verse 40, they come out of prison and they go back to her house. So we know that once she was, man, her heart was open. There was a hospitality. It's like, no, I want you to come to my house. And so we know that she walked in the purpose of God for her life, making a difference. Hospitality may not be your gift, but God's called you and to use what it is in your life that God imparts to you to make a difference in this world. You were called to make a difference. Just like Lydia. See, we often overlook, but the Philippian church was a great church, founded by a woman who allowed her heart to be open, who moved from religion to relationship, taking her next step in spiritual maturity, walking out the purpose of God for her life, where she was. Isn't that amazing? Man, she is an amazing person. Let's get to promise. Everybody want to hear about the promise? Philippians chapter 1, 1 through 10 says this. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving and prayer, I thank my God every time I remember you. So he's talking to the church. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this day until now. So this is the part I want you to get. This is a promise for you and I. You ready? Being confident of this. This is the promise that God has that we can extrapolate from the life of Lydia. And it's this. Being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you. Since I have you in my heart, and wherever I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And he goes on to continue to thank them. What we know is that that promise, being confident, you can know this, that he, which is Christ, who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So I want you to know that there is a promise of a work that's being done in you. Even when you can't see it. Even when you can't feel it. Even when your mind says, no, I don't know it. If you've accepted Christ in your heart, there's a work being done in you. And you've got to accept that work. Be confident. Know without a shadow of a doubt. This is where your faith, you need to activate your faith to know that the work, it's a good work being done in you. Man, and he is faithful and just to complete it. How many know that we are a work in progress? I'm going to give you some scriptures regarding this work. I'm going to read verse 6 again. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion into the day of Christ. Ephesians 3:20 says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in you. I don't know about you, that gets me excited. He can do immeasurably more than I can think of with the power that works in me. John 14:12, verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Think about that. So we're kind of closing now. That's a sign we were playing earlier. Sign of going to the keyboard. Think about that, though. I want you to really sink those scriptures in. There's a work in you. That's not of your doing, not of my doing, but when you've accepted it, there's a work in you. Don't deny it. See, here's what happens, is we begin to deny the work in us. Why? Because we got this sense that I've got to be humble, and that can't be, or maybe I'm not good enough for this work. Man, I'm not good enough, I don't work at the right place, I can't touch anybody, no. Get that out of your mind. There is a work in you that God wants to do in and through you to reach people that no one else can reach. He wants you to reach them. And I'm going to give you a really heavy thought, and I'm sorry, but I can't go away from this thought. It's one I've told my kids. If you were meant to be in a place to reach somebody, God's purpose for you there is to reach somebody, and you don't share the gospel, who then is going to reach them? That's a heavy thought for me. If they're my responsibility, God's put me there to share. Now, my responsibility isn't for them to respond. It's to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He does. It's my responsibility to touch those that He puts into my path. And if He puts them into my path and I do nothing, then who's going to reach them? Because they were in my path. And I want you not to allow that to happen in your workplace, in your marketplace, in your high school, in your college, in your place of business. Lydia was a businesswoman who had a sphere to reach and touch. So this morning, I just want you to realize you're called. You're called. You're called where you are. There's a work that's being done in and through you. You're called. And I want you to move from that calling into understanding that promise. Right? Because the promise backs up the call. So if God puts you into your workplaces and calls you to reach those where you are, and He calls you into relationship, He backs that promise up to go, hey, before you can even think about it, it's way more than you can imagine. There's a spirit and a power working in and through you that you can't even imagine. But He's there for you. So my promise is you can walk through the fire, but you won't get burned. There's a hope that I know when I die, there is a better place that I go because I serve Him now. Are you willing to heed that call? Are you willing to go? I'm ready to go to my marketplace. I'm ready to go to the place that God has for me, and I'm ready to reach people for Christ. See, leading people to live Christ in their life is leading them from no hope, no heart, giving them CPR, a call, a promise, and a response, and they come to Christ and they live a Christ-centered life. That's centered around His word, His purpose, His will. That's what it means to lead people to Christ. We're leading them not to ourselves, but to Christ, who is the hope and the glory, who's going to give them a hope and a heart. But it's you and I. Are you willing to heed the call to go from religion to relationship? No longer serving Him for what He does, but serving Him for who He is. And I don't know about you, but it takes a perspective shift for me because God is so good. I look at my life and regardless of the highs and the lows, God is always there. And what He has for me is so good. Right? Mindy read that scripture, man. That's a promise from the Word. He is so good. And when He's so good, I can get wrapped up into that and living from wants and good and promise to promise, and I get myself off of who He is. So I need to move from religion to relationship. So I know that some of us here, you may fit into any of those categories. But what's your response? Lydia's response is, man, I'm in. I'm all in, which is a value here at Center Point Church. I'm all in. She goes, I'm all in. What is it going to take? Boom. Heart open. Baptized. I'm there. Shoo. I'm baptized. We read in Philippians, if you go on down to Philippians 3 and 4, you find out about these gifts that they sent to Paul. They were a generous church. And in the context of the gift, because we often quote Philippians chapter 4, my God will supply all my needs, right? That's in the context of a gift of generosity that the church gave Paul. That out of their generosity and flow of heart, the scriptures pin, my God will supply all your needs. And that was a response of loving God and all in. Meaning that everything I am, Lord, it pales in comparison to who You are. And so we need to really worship God for who He is. But what's your response? I don't want you to leave here today not changed. I don't want you to leave here today without some kind of response to the call and to the promise. See, we can get the call down, but it's important that we get the promise down because the promise is what's going to sustain us when it gets tough. When you're like, Lord, I can't see past this valley, the promise should come to you. I'm there. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm there. Be confident. Know without a shadow of a doubt. You can take it to the bank. It is solid. My word is good. Be confident that the work is being done in you is good and will be completed. We need to respond this morning to God and His Word. And how we respond, I'm just going to kind of give each week, we have a declaration. We're going to declare it, and then we're going to kind of just move into a time of responding to what it is God's calling and talking to each one of you about. And this week, we really want us to be able to get this declaration in. And I think I do have it on the screens. If they can't get to it, that's okay. But here's the first one. The call elevates my perspective. The call, when I hear the call, my perspective changes now, right? I'm seeing God for who He is. I'm seeing that there's a bigger purpose to my life than this day-to-day grind of maybe just barely getting by or getting by and just the day. The call elevates my perspective. So I want you to repeat after me. The call elevates my perspective. Let's do it again. Again. Let's do it again. The call elevates my perspective. One more time. The call elevates my perspective. So when you go during the week and you're like, man, I just don't know, you're going to remember, wait, the call elevates my perspective. The second part, the promise activates my faith. You ready? Can you say that? The promise activates my faith. Let's say it again. Again, the promise activates my faith. Again. It's cool because we got to hear that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So a lot of times, you got to speak it out. So what's the first one? The call elevates my perspective. Second one, the promise activates my faith. And here's the third. The response aligns me to God's will. The response aligns me to God's will. Let's say that together. The response aligns me to God's will. Say it again. Do it again. Okay, let's try to see if we can do it together, because I have to remember them too. I have a lot of thoughts going. The call elevates my perspective. What's the next one? Activates my faith. And the third one is the response aligns me to God's will. Right? I just want you to begin to declare that this week. We'll find it. You'll see it on Facebook this week. Take notes, write it down. But I really want you to begin to declare, and especially over this series, we're going to declare this each and every week we're in this series. Because you may be saying, I just need it. I know I need it. Got to get through that stubborn head of mine. Let's say it one more time. The call elevates my perspective. The promise activates my faith. The response aligns me to God's will. Amen? I just hope that this message kind of speaks to you. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and then we're going to just move into a time of worship. And I know that each of us are at a different place, but I'm praying this morning that you don't leave the same as you came in. That you would leave challenged and changed. I didn't say it was going to be easy. It's going to be hard. The enemy is going to want to come and kind of get in the midst, and we just want to seal that word in our hearts to understand that we're called. Everybody say, I'm called. I'm called where I am, and I'm called into a relationship. You got to know there's a promise, and that he is fulfilling that promise. And that the response is, I will. That's real simple. I will.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that you were encouraged and blessed by God's word. For more information, go to centerpointmeridian.com. Have a great week and go tell someone about Jesus.